Okay, so here we are in the first of several podcast sessions where we're going to be discussing with Year 7 some of the fairy tales that we've been reading taken from Angela Carter's Book of Fairy Tales, which is a really fascinating volume that, well, brings together many fairy tales from different parts of the world that all feature quite interesting and strong female characters. And I think that's the place where we're going to start. What are our thoughts on some of the presentations of women that we've encountered in some of the stories that we've been read or heard?
Most
what
of
do
them
we
are
think?
Looking for husbands, really. Well, oh. In the end, they like happily ever after they married. Or
yeah, they always seem to look for something like in Kakarotruk, she's looking for a baby. In The Fisher Girl and the Crab, I think she's looking for a husband. So they always share in common that they're looking for happiness or something to get on. Well,
I think the women always turn out to be like better people because the men, either they're cowards or they're slightly evil, or they're just not particularly good at anything. But the women, they are the main characters in all of these stories, and they just seem the stronger person.
Well, I kind of think that all of the women have really strong personalities. Like in Kakarotruk, she's very determined, and in stories like The Clever Gretel, she's a very clever character. And in East of the Sun and West of the Moon, she's just like Kakarotruk, determined to find the husband. So yeah, they've got quite strong personalities.
So lots of these women seem to have, you know, challenges set against them. And I mean, it's interesting, Kieran, that sort of observation. You know, they all seem to be looking for husbands, or they all seem to resolve themselves with marriage. I mean, I know that we've been thinking a little bit about these fairy tales, you know, despite the fact that they've been from lots of different parts of the world, all being incredibly old and passed down through the generations. Do we think this idea of everything having to be solved by marriage is relevant now? Is it something that we want to sort of try and engage with just for a moment? What are our thoughts on that?
Well, like nowadays, most people don't marry for a long time, and it's not like what you have to do. So it's not like the answer to everything.
How do we feel that if we're saying that we've got female characters that seem quite strong in many of these fairy tales, do we think that there's this pressure to find the perfect other person actually weakens them in any way? I mean, Ryan, from the stories you've heard, who has been your favourite female character so far, and why in the stories?
Well, all of them were very brave, but I think Parsley Girl was probably the bravest because she was like, what, 7, 8 years old. Then she just randomly gets taken by nuns who turn out to be witches, and she fights them off without a problem.
Yeah. She sort of kills them, actually, doesn't she?
I think it kind of builds up their personalities as well as making them brave, I guess.
So a sort of resourcefulness as well. This sort of, you know, defying the odds.
I don't think that they all end up, they have to end up marrying someone, because in the end of, it was the two women who found freedom, they end up living inside a dead whale, and they leave their husband.
Should we stay with that story for a moment? Because it's extraordinary, isn't it? And isn't it wonderful that that sort of whole concept of those two women that sort of find their strength in actually realising that they don't need their husband at all. And their husband's a complete brute, isn't he? He sort of has been thrashing them. And it's a story that has a lot of domestic abuse in it. And then they go on this massive adventure, don't they, into the whale. Jake, what did it make you think of in terms of remembering that story? How does it make you feel?
It sort of made me think of other stories that are longer, and it shows that the authors can actually fit more into their stories if they're smaller, because at the start of the two women who found freedom, 1 minute they're in they're locked up and being whipped and hit by their husband. The next they're on a huge adventure and find a whale which they live in forever.
Mm. Not until they die.
Mm. I mean, Tom, what do you feel that that story has to say about the way we treat other people?
Well, I just think that the, I think it's sort of telling you to not treat other people badly, as in the end, it will come back to haunt you, because...
Like the man kind of got what he deserved because he kept thrashing the women, so they... ran away, then he, like, had the one to thrash.
Yeah, because in the end, he sort of got a taste. He didn't get a taste of his own medicine, but they ran away, and he must have felt very angry with that, and quite annoyed.
Just around the table, I mean, have we got any other thoughts on that? It's a sort of curious tale, isn't it? It's extraordinary, this sort of Inuit story.
Sort of been the odd one out so far, because I think it's the one which hasn't had a happiness to it. I think pretty much all of the others...
Well, it does have a happy ending.
But you don't... When you're reading it, you don't really feel too happy when you're reading about a man thrashing his wives.
Yeah.
But all the others have generally been happy throughout, but this one's different.
I think you're right in that although there is a sense of resolution at the end, and you're saying that, you know, he gets his comeuppance, a taste of his own medicine, but still these two women, though they've escaped this dreadful husband and they've found each other, they are still living in the carcass of a rotting whale, aren't they? So it's not the sort of upbeat positivity that perhaps we might have come to expect from certain types of fairy tales.
But they haven't gone and found another civilization, like another town or something. They're just in a dead animal.
It's also quite different, because unlike in the others, where they're searching for something solid, like, I don't know, a husband or something, in that one they're searching for, like, quite an abstract thing, because they're looking for freedom.
And it is an abstract thing, isn't it? Freedom. I mean, do we think there are any other abstract ideas that these fairy tales that we've heard seem to be sort of dealing with? I mean, Ryan, can you think of any others that are dealing with freedom? Or?
Well, in The Parsley Girl, the Parsley Girl just wants freedom from the nuns. But the two women who found freedom... It kind of hinted at that and the name, and it's also quite different from the others, because all of the others involved some sort of magic, whereas that one is just it's like something that could happen in real life today, apart from living in a whale bit. Yeah. But
also, it was a sort of survival story, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Also, I think that the two women who find freedom is different to all of the others, because in Kakawashuk, there's magic in it, where the Kakawasha thinks to the other side of the world, where there's a reverse world. And then in Clever Gretel, she suddenly thinks of this idea to tell the friend that the master is going to cut off his ears. And then also in Pastor Girl, there's boys in casseroles, and then in The Crab and the Fish Girl, the crab walks up to a random tree and tells it to fall over. So I think that in the two women who find freedom, there's not really any magic to it, because they get out of the cage or wherever they're being held, and they walk and they find a whale to live in I don't think I shouldn't think there was any magic in that.
No, it's like more realistic.
Yes, and it's stronger for that, isn't it? Because it doesn't have any magic. Let's just leave that thought there.